A homily for Trinity Sunday. The Church always celebrates the solemnity of the Holy Trinity after the whole journey of Eastertide, which culminates in the great feast of Pentecost. It's interesting to notice how between the end of Eastertide and the recommencement of what is known as Ordinary Time, there is a period of 2 weeks where in the Sunday liturgy, there is something akin to an interlude where the two feasts of Trinity Sunday today and the Feast of Corpus Christi next week are celebrated consecutively. It's as if the Church is telling us that before things get back to a staid and normative pace, let us as a people situate ourselves as to why we are Church and what gives us the extraordinary sustenance that we need in our pursuit of daily living. The character of Trinity Sunday is significantly different from any other Sunday. And I say this because whenever there is a feast or solemnity of the Church on a Sunday, in various ways, we are celebrating something that God has done in the history of the Church. Whether it is in the way that a certain saint had lived with heroic virtue, or something that God had done to enter into and partake in our human living, perhaps giving us something of himself, or even giving us something so much needed by us through great saints like the Blessed Virgin Mary. All those feasts and solemnities are about what God does or what God has done. But only today, one Sunday a year, on Holy Trinity Sunday, it is not so much of what God does, but who God is. And that's deep. It's far easier to preach something meaningful about God's saving action in the whole layout of salvation history than it is to say something of significance about who God is. And it's because it is such an onerous task that many preachers tread on eggshells when Trinity Sunday comes around. Can we, with some confidence and clarity, answer the question of who is God? Christianity is called a revealed religion because on some level we can speak about who God is simply because he has chosen to reveal himself. Otherwise, this would simply not be possible. Someone who is a complete stranger to me will only be able to say he knows who I am only if I have revealed myself to him or her. Our Holy Bible, which is God's Word, tells us how God has revealed himself. In fact, in the opening verse of the first chapter of the letter to the Hebrews, we are told that at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, and in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. This is scriptural evidence that backs the truth that in stages and in layered ways, God has revealed himself. God has used different people in the course of salvation history to reveal himself. But even before the prophets, God can be perceived to exist. And one can deduce this just by being awed by the majesty of creation and nature, from the tiniest of plants and insects to the immensity of the universe and the cosmos. Now I say being awed because it is different from just saying looking at. Being in awe requires one to take in with more than a passive glance, like one would perhaps browse the artwork in an art gallery. If one allows one to be enraptured, captivated, and enthralled by something, one is in a way made small and realizes that what one is encountering is truly stunning and breathtaking. Nature has the power to humble us, and the writer of the letter to the Hebrews intuits this when he says that in many ways God has revealed himself. Then he goes on to narrow this broad picture and mentions prophets. In the Jewish tradition, these would be prophets like Abraham and Moses, and through the various major and minor prophets that make up the Old Testaments. The high point of revelation comes in the person of Jesus Christ, who reveals not just what God does, but who God is in his essence. Through the life, passion, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, God has opened up himself to us in a most self-exposed way. As well, Jesus has revealed to us how God in his essence is a unity of three persons, with the Holy Spirit as a real person who is the flow of love between the Father and the Son. Now, no human person could come to this conclusion had it not been first revealed by God himself. And our faith tells us that this was precisely what Jesus Christ did. If I ask you, or anyone for that matter, who I am, there are different ways that one can get the answer. Because I write articles weekly for a blog page, one can therefore Google my name and look me up. But that would only bring the knowledge of me up to a certain point. You won't really know who I am unless you have a relationship with me where I personally reveal myself to you. And the more encounters you have with me, the more I will have the opportunity to reveal myself to you, including knowing my quirks and idiosyncrasies. Now, this dynamic really is no different when it comes to God. Not that God has quirks and idiosyncrasies. Our faith has allowed a Christian to enter into an intimate relationship with God. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has revealed that not only is he a person, but a community of persons. That this is so is what the church rightly calls mystery. It isn't something to explain or logically work out, because if you think about it, if anyone can explain God using terms and categories that the mind can conceive, then wouldn't that necessarily mean that those terms and theories are greater than God, rendering God to be less than those terms and categories? Although the solemnity of the Holy Trinity celebrates that God is one and also somehow three, and that this was revealed by Jesus, it took the church about 300 years from its humble beginnings to finally arrive at a formula that stays faithful to this experience of God. It was in 325 AD, at the Council of Nicaea, that we were given the creedal formula that as Catholics we profess every Sunday when we stand for the creed after the homily. This profession reminds us that it is so important for us to hold as truth that God is one but three in persons. God doesn't want us to just honor and pay homage to his three persons from a distance. Tomes have been written by theologians with great minds about the economic trinity versus the immanent trinity, where the economic trinity is what God does, and the immanent trinity is who God is. Oftentimes, these treatises create more confusion than they do clarity. I may be wrong, but I don't think it is for the preacher on Sunday, on Trinity Sunday, to try to do some sort of spiritual presse of all those great theological ponderings and think that it is even possible to make the Trinity so clear in a span of an 8 or 9 minute homily. But the preacher can and should do something meaningful. What is far more important for every Catholic, who in most cases is not a theologian, who has devoted his life to academia and systematic theology studies, is to ask, what does all this mystery of God call us to do? Does it give us a way to live our lives as faithful Christians? Does the mystery of God call for a response from us? I believe it does. Because it is so great a mystery, it also is so important a mystery that it helps us to come down to this, that it behooves us to live in humility before the mystery of God. Each time I go before the Blessed Sacrament in prayer and adoration in the wee hours of the morning, there is a part of me that is aware that I am placing myself before the great I Am, the Lamb of God and the Holy Spirit who is my advocate. I am not there to explain or to understand God. Perhaps like Mary at Calvary, who stood under the cross, I am also standing under the mystery of God, who despite being so incredibly majestic and divine, has made me and invites me each moment of my existence to live in relationship with Him. I'm afraid that we priests may not avail ourselves enough to do this, and the result is that Trinity Sunday is met with trepidation and dread. If one has a rich, loving, and daily relationship with anyone, one cannot possibly be tongue-tied or at a loss for words when speaking about that person because one has a rich experience of the person to draw from. For example, spouses enamored with each other can speak animatedly about each other. Why? Because they have a loving and invested relationship with each other. Trinity Sunday is really about an invitation that God is giving all of us. He has this incredible, perfectly loving relationship of total giving and total receiving within His three persons that has so much vitality, dynamism in and of itself, and He is longing to share this with us, His beloved creation. The beauty that is the Trinity isn't just something to observe and admire from afar. The Trinity is there to hold us in awe, leaving us bowled over, enchanted, and captivated. And more and much more than that, He is drawing us in. So, what is holding us back? Only we have the answer to that question. God love you.